You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Reggie Jackson won't play against the Raptors tomorrow, which should come as no surprise at this point. From the moment the Pistons sat him down, pulled him off the active list, I said, I doubt you'll see him again this season. Nothing to change that. I do find it a little strange that the Pistons keep going game by game with this. Maybe once they're officially eliminated from the playoffs or a playoff contention, they'll make it official and say, hey, he's not going to come back this season. Maybe that's what they're waiting for. But as little as Stan Van Gundy likes to talk about this, and whenever Reggie Jackson comes up, he scoffs and, you know, complains about the questions and how much it's wearing on him and wearing on the team and too much Reggie Jackson talk. And he'll answer the question, but he doesn't really want to talk about it. He makes that very clear. I'm really surprised the Pistons haven't made a point to sit down Reggie Jackson for the year and make that official, announce that to everybody, have everybody on the same page. Alas, this is how they're going. So every game, there's going to be the Reggie Jackson question, maybe some Reggie Jackson follow-up questions. We saw a little bit of that today. This is via M Live. Stan Van Gundy said, quote, I think it probably should have happened earlier, and I don't think we were real fair with him in that. I'm happy with where we are now. If I had any regret, and I really don't, it would have been that we didn't do this earlier, end quote. I mean, I guess that adds a little bit of context to something that's been somewhat of a mystery around here, exactly what the Pistons are doing and thinking with Reggie Jackson. It's an injury issue, but it's not, because Stan Van Gundy doesn't directly decide injury-related things about who can play and when. But Van Gundy's completely in charge of this, but it's about Reggie Jackson's confidence. We're kind of swirling around something similar where it's not completely inconsistent, but the way they say it is fairly inconsistent because the story keeps changing ever so slightly here or there, things that are just not consistent. For most of the season, Stan Van Gundy insisted that there was nothing going on health-wise with Reggie Jackson that was holding him back. And yes, he was cleared medically, but that doesn't mean he should be back out on the court. There is a responsibility of the team's medical personnel to say, hey, he can play, but he won't be able to play well enough. He won't be able to be effective. He won't be healthy enough to be effective. And they also need to evaluate, hey, if he's playing, is he going to be able to get effective? Is he going to be able to recover while playing, while enduring an NBA season? These are tough questions, but it really seems the Pistons got this one wrong. I do appreciate Van Gundy saying he regrets not sitting Jackson sooner. It seems pretty obvious to me he should have sat sooner. However, I don't really get Stan Van Gundy saying I don't regret it. Van Gundy's kind of playing this both ways. I don't think he wants to take all this responsibility on himself for doing something wrong. And to regret it is, to me at least, maybe this comes down to the interpretation of this, but to me, to say Van Gundy regrets it would not be him saying, yeah, I absolutely should have known better at the time. Maybe it was reasonable that Van Gundy didn't know better at the time, but in hindsight, to regret it, to say, based on what I know now and what I can look at with this fuller picture that was never going to be available to me then, that it was a bad choice, that I should have sat down Reggie Jackson sooner, because him playing throughout the season made a lot of things worse. It's not Reggie Jackson's fault that the Pistons are such a fragile team, but they are. And all their insecurities about who's getting shots, who's getting the ball, how hard they're going to defend if their shots aren't falling, if they're not getting their shots, all of that came right up to the surface when Jackson came back. When the team didn't click immediately upon his return, Jackson took a lot of the blame. And it's not all Jackson's fault, but he was central to so many of the problems. Which gets into something a little bigger picture I want to talk about, which is the role of injuries. I think one thing I, in hindsight, definitely got wrong when evaluating where the Pistons were leaving last year going into this year, I didn't account for the fact that the Pistons were pretty healthy last season. They were pretty healthy. I just saw their progress. They were the youngest team in the playoffs. They had a nice young core. That core was going to be back. There were bench upgrades at some key spots, notably backup point guard. It really seemed this team was on the rise and was going to take a step forward. but I did not account for the fact that the Pistons had above average injury luck. They probably were not as good last season as they appeared. You have to consider that. You have to consider that injury luck is going to regress to the mean. I see no reason to believe the Pistons have a training staff that's going to give them above average injury luck. And when it comes to where the training staff is, you know, that's obviously not luck, but from afar, it's hard to gauge that. I think a lot of it got swept in with injury luck. I see literal reason to believe the Pistons are going to have above or below, for that matter, average injury luck going forward. So that made the Pistons look better than they were last year. This year, it very well could make the Pistons look worse than they are. Give the Pistons average injury luck this year, and maybe they'll be okay. That seems to be the hope for next year. Everything Stan Van Gundy is saying about Reggie Jackson sitting down is based on him being at full strength, next year being better next year. And no, Reggie Jackson being healthy will not directly solve all the Pistons' problems. Because his health, Reggie Jackson on his own, is not the Pistons' only problem. But they've got to get to a point where he's healthy and then maybe other things start to go correct around him. He gets to his spots better. The ball moves better. Other players feel more engaged. They play harder. They defend harder. They have better camaraderie. All those things can percolate off that central idea of Reggie Jackson being healthy. Ish Smith gets into a role that fits him better. He's not playing over his head as a starter. He's coming off the bench. His minutes are down. He's more effective. When he's more effective, his distributing ability, his ability to play with those other bench players, he makes them all more effective. It could all trickle down from Reggie Jackson's health. In the same way I inflated the team's progress last year because they were too healthy, don't make the mistake of discounting where this team is now because they've had this major injury problem. Reggie Jackson getting healthy could take care of a lot. I'm not sure it will. I'm not totally convinced of this. But that prospect is out there. The Pistons coming back with the same core next year with a very similar roster, there are much worse things. I don't dread that like a lot of Pistons fans do. Health is a big part of how teams do, and it's probably not something we've discussed enough. As much as we've talked about Reggie Jackson this year, we didn't talk enough last year about how healthy he was, how healthy the Pistons overall were, and how much that could affect next year. That there's little reason to believe Jackson will be this hurt again next year. It doesn't seem like this is going to be the type of long-term setback that greatly affects his career. There is the risk of that and something to be concerned about, but it doesn't seem likely. So it's a little bit of tepid optimism. I want to talk about the Magic leaking their board, their whiteboard of players, and the Pistons' connection to that. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparing for you by searching multiple ticket sites, ensuring you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is graded based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons today. So if you haven't seen this yet, the Magic signed a player, Patricio Guerrero, just for the end of the season. It might have been a multi-year contract. I doubt there's anything guaranteed beyond this year. A pretty meaningless signing, except his agent tweeted a photo of his client in a Magic office with what appear to be the Magic's off-season plans on a whiteboard in the background. And on that board, four Pistons. There was a column called Hybrid Trade that had Stanley Johnson, Marcus Morris, and Tobias Harris. There was also a column called Spread Bigs Trade. And that was John Lohr. And I think by hybrid, by the way, I think that's players who are combo forwards. I think that's Orlando's terminology for combo forwards. So does this mean the Magic are interested in these players, that they're targeting these players? Magic general manager Rob Hennigan really tried to downplay this. He told the Orlando Sentinel that it's not indicative of his team's plans and that some of this stuff was what other teams had inquired about, which is a very nice, impressive spin. Unfortunately for Hennigan, he hasn't really done anything else that well in Orlando. This is a team that's lost a lot. They've tried to accelerate their rebuilding process. They failed at that. They haven't acquired any really budding young stars to build around. Yeah, they haven't had good lottery luck, but when you throw away players like Tobias Harris and Mo Harkless and practically give them away, you're making it much harder on yourselves. So yeah, you want to laugh about the Magic maybe being interested in acquiring Tobias Harris, who they almost gave away to the Pistons? Sure, it's funny. It's funny. We can laugh about that. But let's talk about the seriousness of this for a second. We don't know what this list means. We don't. We don't know whether this was put together by Hennigan, by his entire staff, somebody lower level just brainstorming. If these are players who other teams have offered them, if it's players the Magic are interested in, if it's players the Magic are interested in, if, you know, with some major caveats, we just don't know what this is. We need to accept that we don't know what this is. And then here's the other big part. Hennigan appears likely to be fired in the offseason. It seems even more likely now that this slipped out and got out. It's just sort of an embarrassing thing. Like, if you can't handle this, if you're bringing, first of all, if you're bringing a player and his agent into this room with this board, what are you doing? Like, why should the player and the agent be in that room with that information if it's meaningful at all, let alone in a position to take a picture of it and tweet it and post it to the world? It's just an embarrassing setback for somebody who has no real strong case to keep his job, I don't think. And I don't think he's going to end up keeping his job. So even if these are the truest representations of Hennigan's trade targets, I don't think it matters, because I think the Magic will have a new general manager by the time they make their next trade. So yeah, some Pistons names on there. I wouldn't get hyped up too much about it. It's kind of interesting. It is kind of interesting, but I would not make a big deal about it. Pistons play the Raptors tomorrow. We'll look ahead more at that game tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. Also, follow and subscribe to Locked On Lions, the Locked On Network's Detroit Lions podcast. Real interesting time this year, a time of year with the draft coming up. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.